spread the truth. Document it. Prove it. Make it irrefutable, and you too will become dangerous to those who admire us in lies and enslave us.
Globalism.
But because they are lying, it's possible to expose them. And this is their Achilles heel. By comparison, we have nothing to hide, therefore we have no reason to lie. And we wouldn't want to, even if we could. Truth is a far superior weapon than deceit. It's a weapon which is denied to them. And in the end, it will be the decisive weapon that destroys them completely.
Fucking day!
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you for tuning in on this Friday, the 13th. A few hours earlier than normal, but that's how it goes when you got to go to some hockey tournaments with some kids. But anyway, here we are. Good to see you again. Hope you're all doing well. I'm Henrik, as you can see down below right there, if you can read. But who knows? How are you doing, Lana?
I am doing interesting.
Oh, I'm God. Doing interesting.
I'm doing interesting. It's been quite a few days, so... where do we begin?
Let's keep it short.
Friday the 13th. It's Friday the 13th. So the superstition of Friday the 13th being unlucky hasn't always been the case, right? As many of you know, Friday comes from Freya's Day, the Norse goddess. So this unlucky whore-like superstition as we know it today was referenced actually in French literature in 1834. And others claim the origins include the arrest of the Knights Templar on Friday the 13th, 1307. What do you know about that?
He was burned. Jacques de Molay, the Knights Templar, was burned on the stake, I think, on the Friday the 13th, partially. Okay. That's why it was picked up, I think, anyway. Okay. That's like 1032 or something like that, or 1060, something like that.
Okay, so it hasn't always been an unlucky number. There's 13 lunar cycles in a year. Did you know that? It means we have 12 full moons, but then every 2 to 3 years, there's the blue moon, right? Once in a blue moon, the 13th moon. So, and as we know, the moon is associated with the feminine, very much tied to female cycles. I know, ick, right? And then this is the fear of...
The blood moon.
Is the fear of 13, is this some kind of anti-nature, anti-pagan... I don't want to dare say anti, you know, female divine goddess, whatever, but maybe there is a little bit of that, right? With some of the religious things.
It's an uneven number. It's an odd one out, right?
Yeah, odd one out.
Otherwise you have like, you know, 4 or 8 or 12 or, you know, 16, but that's, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's become such a thing where there isn't even a 13th floor in some buildings,
right?
So, and some claim that it stems from the suppression of the lunar traditions, right? When there was a 12-based calendars, like the solar-based calendars, like the Roman Gregorian, dominated, making 13 like the disruptive, the chaotic one that doesn't fit in, right?
Yeah,
like the early timekeeping.
Well, I mean, Germanics had a solely lunar calendar, right? You kind of observe both. But what's weird about the 13 months thing is now we have 12, but they're all offset. I don't want to derail you here.
No, but it's true. These are theories, yeah.
Well, look at how you count the months even, right? When does it begin? Let me see here. Not August then, but September, which is the 9th month, but that Sept is 7. And then you have October, which is the 10th month, but that comes from 8, Oct, right? And then you have... November, not for 9, but that's the 11th, and then Deca, Deci, which is 10, but that's the 12th month in our, it's all fucked up, that's my point.
Yeah, and then of course, the new year, when does that really begin? People say it actually is supposed to be springtime, but Pope changed that.
Springtime,
right? January.
For so Hitler it's all and Germany. No, I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
All right, and then of course, okay, you know, there's it's fine. The last Supper always comes up, right? 13
it's a
people
serious
attended.
Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Jesus was, you know, Jesus plus 12 disciples, Judas being the betrayer, so as the 13th. But then there's also this retelling involving a Norse myth, right? So 12 Norse gods were gathered for a banquet in Valhalla. Loki, the mischievous trickster god, the uninvited god, he shows up as the 13th guest. He then tricked the blind god, help me with his name, Hodr.
And how do you spell it?
H-U-D-R.
D-R?
Mm-hmm.
Hodr.
There you go. Okay. So Loki tricks his brother into shooting a mistletoe arrow at Baldur. Okay, the god of light and joy and goodness is kind of like a early, I guess the Jesus archetype could be borrowed from Baldur, right? Pierced his side.
So 12.
It killed him.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Baldur's death brought the darkness, grief, and suffering to the world. This is when Ragnarok happens, a series of cataclysmic events and leading to destruction of the cosmos and the death of many major gods who go to war with each other. The world is engulfed in flames and submerged in water and ultimately destroyed. Afterward, the earth rises anew, cleansed and fertile while surviving and returning God's meat. And the two human survivors.
God's meat?
Lif and
I
Lif
want some
Mercer.
That. Give me some of that. Give me God's meat. Not
God's
mead.
They meet.
Okay.
So two human survivors, Lif and Lifrasid, I'm not sure if I'm pronounced that right, repopulate the world. This sounds familiar, doesn't it? Ragnarok translates to Twilight of the Gods or Doom of the Gods. And Baldur emerges from hell. Renewed, he returns and rules the new restored harmonious world. Sounds very familiar. So perhaps 13 has some ancient, deeper symbolic roots. It just keeps showing up. But at the end of the day,
yeah,
it's how you navigate the energy, even if it's become this kind of collective hysteria. But I will say that the astrology is a bit on fire today too. So
well, yeah. So some people in chat there, Morningstar, the one brings up, sorry, the 13th sign of the zodiac too. Remember the Opiukus?
Oh yeah,
they said the dragon.
Yeah.
Opiukus was one of the kind of hidden signs and stuff like that. First, it's like, oh, were there 12? Sephirots in the Jewish Kabbalah tree of life thing, you know, but it was 10, so would be the 11th, not the 13th, so I guess I mean, that wasn't the thing, but anyway.
That's interesting how these things emerge, though, mm-hmm. right? And then it becomes like a fear. There's people that are literally afraid of it, like all these videos.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Unlucky, the cats on the ladders and all that. But we also have important, just real quick, I don't want to waste a lot of time, but Mars conjunct the North Node in Pisces. This is a big deal today. So, you know, taking tests and turning them into opportunities for evolution. It's especially important for and potent for spiritual, creative, or compassionate pursuits. You can look more into the North Nodes of Fate. That's a big one today. Venus is in Aries, trine Lilith and Sagittarius, so this is very fiery as well today. It's got an edge, an impulse, it's determined. Mercury retrograde, which is going on until the 20th, and I should have known when I booked our Montana Hot Springs trip. I should have looked. I just thought, whatever, this is when I could book it. It's hard to get in there. I should have known, because the trip kind of was a disaster, guys. Place is beautiful. Hot Springs is gorgeous. It's Montana. It's all white, like there. Okay, well, the first night we get there, I'm like, what the fuck?
But what kind of white?
All these spiteful mutants sitting around. I'm like, I don't want to share what. This is Montana. Where are these spiteful mutants coming from? And then one of our friends is like, oh, yeah, Monday nights, a lot of bartenders and waitstaff. They get the night off, so that's the theory. Then they all come out, and they're not always the best people. The drunkards, no offense. I know there's good bartenders out there.
You could piss everyone off now, Lana.
The first night, we had
whole
these
audience full of
crazy,
you know,
crazy, obese, trashy, hell neighbors.
Meth-ridden.
And this is a nice place, okay? But
genetic rejects.
They all jam in the same room, and there's like a cabin with a shared wall, like a kind of duplex type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you think for like the price, it would filter out. No, they all jam in this hotel room, partying all fucking night, all night,
and morning,
yapping and morning. Yeah, just going off until I don't know what, like noon or something. Three times the resort people came to tell them to shut up. We told them.
Well,
I
called them, yes, four times I think I had to call them throughout the night. But then eventually,
The cops showed up, and they were the most...
No, I called the
you
cops.
You called the cops,
that's
yes,
why
yes,
the cops
yes.
showed up. I know.
The most had volatile, horrific, horrible trash I have encountered in a long time. And I'm like, you know, me over analytical sometimes with the Virgo brain, you know. I'm like, what is the meaning? Why us? Why is this happening? And I'm like... Oh, yeah, it's just kind of confirming my great refinement series that I'm working on. Like, we as a race do have a trash problem, okay? We have a trash problem, and we have spiteful mutants, and this is something that we're going to have to, like, deal with, right? We're like, yeah, we need eugenics. End of the day. We need eugenics. All right? All right. So I'm not going to waste any more time on the crazy neighbors, but that was screwed up. The place made it right for us. They were all great.
Yeah,
but
no,
it was
great.
Just,
the place is great. It was,
and
the
because of
is,
laws, they can't just
yeah,
go in
mention
and
that
kick
real
them
quick,
out,
that
right?
Basically, it's that it always becomes this, I mean, as we know, it's the lowest common denominator that sets the standard, sets the trend, and everyone else has to adjust to that, right? So I was over there knocking on the door, I think twice, you know, like, hey, I've three kids here, they're young.
They didn't care. Foul-mouthed trash.
Quiet.
And they were like 50.
Anyway, probably. So eventually I just call them trash to their face. You're genetic rejects. You're like disgust. You just get the hell out of here, you know, kind of thing. And yes. Obviously, you know, my impulse is like, I just want to beat the shit out of these women. But of course I can't because then I'm the one I have to go to. I'll go to jail. I'll be in trouble. So then I was like, okay, fine. The establishment won't call the cops, despite the fact, like, you need to get them out. Like, they're ruining your hotel room. Like,
and,
they're
they
ruining
did.
It, and they
Stiff
did.
Stiff the bill, trash, yeah. They had to have their car towed. Yeah. And when
so
I...
So, like, okay, I'll have to call the cops then. So, like, finally at, like, I don't know what time it was, 7 in the morning.
In the middle
or
of nowhere,
then,
it takes them forever to show up there.
Then the cops show up, sheriff's offices.
And then the resort is like, we are so sorry. This has never,
this never happened
before. And I was like, I have heard this so much in my life. I am always that person that experiences this. This has never happened before. Well, it's happened to me. Okay. And so I was like, you know, spinning my brain about it. And it's like, yeah, well, sometimes you just meet crazy people and we all encounter crazy people, right? I can overanalyze it. I can try and find some great meaning. And hey, I got some good ideas for my great refinement series I'm working on. Bad, annoying, hard things happen in life. There isn't always a big spiritual meaning, even though I'm the one who's looking for it. We all experience it on this planet. And I'd say more so now with an increased level of craziness that surrounds us, it is nearly impossible to avoid. It finds you. And even when it's around a bunch of white people, we're gonna have these issues.
Well, you know. if you see a meaning, that is the meaning.
Yeah.
We find the meaning when we insert ourselves. We become the interface between, you know, the greater and the experiences that we have, right?
Yeah, and for me,
so
I've kind of
that's
been.
Just that's what the point is. We find the meaning. And sometimes it just, but sometimes shit just happens.
Shit just happens. But I have always been, I had told you, you know, I've been a bleeding heart white nationalist where I want to save every single white person. They're all right. And now I'm just like, you know.
You did a video though. Remember? Like, just because you're white, I don't like it.
I know. No, it's true. But even then, my line, my bar has become even higher, much higher since then. It's like, okay, I don't want to come out and play and talk unless I know you're like meet this bar now. You know? Anyway.
It started at like 11 p.m.
right when the kids fell asleep.
And there were, by the way, fighting with each other, turning on each other. They were crazy, like throwing. It was just crazy. And it was like this
meth or something.
It was this paper thin wall between the two kind of cabin parts that shared the walls.
And it's like.
But again, because you told me that, I'm just like. Oh, shit. Like, we share a wall.
And the thing
I knew it.
I didn't realize how trashy women or trashy people can talk about absolutely fucking nothing for 12 hours. I'm like, what is this Jerry Springer shit? You said this. I'm just like, oh, my God. Not even remotely interesting. Not a shred of anything. And it's like, F this and bitch that. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
They're out
that
there.
That was just, They're out there. And then my kids, you know, kids haven't heard this.
Well, yeah.
And then the next night we had a great friend meet us. And I love his kid. Nothing against his kid. But his kid vomits in our room the next night.
In the bed.
In the bed at 2 a.m. because all the kids were having a slumber party. Oh, should I come in our cabin? Blah, 2 in the morning. I'm just like, what is going on? Okay, kids vomit. This happens. This is part of life.
Then we come or when we come home, too, remember?
And yeah, but then I'm feeling sick. Henrik's starting to feel sick. And I'm like, is it the vomit or did we get something? Or was it the food poisoning? Like, what is this? Henrik's like, let's just go before
we got to go home. Happens. That's it. We're done.
Okay. And then
not
good
the
thing
third.
We did
fool
because.
Me, fool me twice, right?
A storm once. Hits. It was this major wind storm. Then a snowstorm hit. There was a power outage, so we couldn't do the stream. But that's fine. That's nature. That happens. That's all.
But it
good.
Was three things in a row. There.
It was boom, three boom, things boom. In
and
a row.
And now it's Friday the 13th. The question Friday is, what's going to happen today?
Yeah.
What's in store for today?
Well,
then?
I also checked the mail and I got summoned for jury duty. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And it's so hard to get out of it in Idaho. It is hard. That is when living in a conservative state sucks. Because in a liberal state, it's way easier to get out of that. They want you to show up for $10 a day, and even that 10 bucks is taxable. I'm just like, you fucking kidding me? And they don't care if you have kids. They don't care if you're broke. They don't care if you're homeless. Like, you were coming to jury duty. And tomorrow's my birthday. So
That's right. Happy
tomorrow's
birthday.
My birthday. My solar return, you know.
Happy early birthday.
So maybe I just got to get all this out of the way.
Get it out of the way.
Isn't there something that make a plan, and then, you know, the gods laugh at you. Things don't always flow.
No,
should exactly. have looked at the astrology before booking.
I guess
so.
I guess so. Right? That's how it goes.
Anyway, Warborn 21 cent, $5. Happy early birthday, Lana. Tons of love from both of us.
Oh, hey. Thank you so much.
Hey, good to see you guys. Yeah. Hope you're doing well. Thank
I know
you.
It shit happens, and I guess it just sucked because we didn't really get the rest that I wanted. The springs were awesome.
It's gonna
soaking
be,
in the springs was
No, that
awesome.
Was fun. But it's going to be nice and relaxing, and then, you know, shit happens. But anyway, yeah. What are you going to do? Okay.
Right. Let's talk about war.
Yes. Let's, okay. Now for the actual part of the show. Let's go.
Now it's time for Jews in the News.
Okay. But we're actually not going to start on the Jews though. We'll get to that because of course, how can you not these days? But
I did want to say, oh my God, Arctic Wolf, thank you so much for the birthday presents. Happy birthday, Lana. I wanted to do something extra for the special occasion. I'm at work, so I'll have to watch later. Love you guys. Take care. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Albert.
Thank you so much.
Huge donor from Albert. Can you guys meet that? He's donating $1,000. Holy shit. Thank you, Albert.
Sets that karma, chaos tax I just paid.
Love you, Albert. Thank you so much. You're awesome. You're incredible. You're our angel investor.
Yes. 100%.
Magnificent. Thank you. Okay, so here we go. Remember the Scottish axe girl?
Oh, yes.
You know? Now, these are real issues here. I mean, it's like, okay, screaming ladies is kind of annoying for 12 hours. I agree. And vomit is annoying. But imagine this, though. You know, there's real challenges here.
And if it was your daughter, too.
Well, yes, exactly. So what we're experiencing here is nothing compared to this stuff that we're going to get into now, okay? But, you know, it's a good event. Scottish axe girl. Everyone remembers the meme, right? Standing with a kind of looks like a long knife and then an axe in the other. The Bulgarian, there were gypsies, right? We found out later. The attackers, because that's what it turned out. She was initially arrested for carrying the weapons and being like, you know, aggressive or something like that. But of course, we called it early on and said, look, all these things have been happening in Dundee with this. What this was going on? There was a case, I think, just the year earlier, where five Romanians, gypsies again, had been sent to prison for grooming. They had been drugging and raping, prostituting young women in Dundee, Scotland. One of the flats that they use was only literally a few minutes walk away from where the video incident actually occurred. So obviously there's probably a connection here, like the grooming gangs in the UK. So anyway, trial date has now been set for that. So it's April 15th. That's coming
up. Can I
up.
Be a juror on that?
Exactly. That's should
I don't,
be a
I know.
Jury
I saw some
right
people
there.
Talking in the chat and I was like, okay, maybe there's some weird universe thing going on and there's a trial that I need to be part of. I don't know.
Probably not.
We're going to find out. It's going to be some garbage. It better be a black guy that we're getting sent out of town. That's all I got.
Some drug thing or something. Yeah, exactly. All right. So anyway, so we'll keep an eye on that, obviously, but that's coming up. So that's an important case to follow up on. And speaking of the UK, we're staying there for a little bit. It's amazing. This is now GB News, and there's a number of reasons why this is important, why they're talking about this. But anyway, let's just listen to this. One of the contributors is discussing here. On GB News. There we go.
And this minority, I hate this word minority, but guess what? What is the minority in the world? It is 10% of the world is white people. That is the minority. And once again, another country is being turned into a no longer white nation. You're looking at the same thing they did in South Africa. It's happening in Europe, all across Europe. And in 10, 20 years, there will be no white nations left. And then the question is, where do white people go? If there is a genocide against white people, where do they go? There is no more land. So this argument, oh, but isn't it so nice that it would be boring if we didn't have these people? Oh, because what, you can get a curry down the street. Guess what? In 20, 30 years, there will be no white nations left. And I would love to know where you're planning on going when they really turn on us, because it has happened before and it will happen again. And this minority...
That one guy's resisting, shaking his head.
Well,
no,
sure, here's the debate here, but the issue here,
of course...
Yeah,
it's being talked about.
The issue here, of course, is these things is what Sam Melia was imprisoned for.
Exactly.
For talking about just a few years ago, essentially. He was just released. He was just on the show talking about his case and stuff. And now it's like just on the mainstream news.
And Mark Collette so banned from everything and attacked also for talking about these things for years.
It's amazing how, which shows you that there is no real legal, I mean, there is a law. I understand that. But then the application of, excuse me, guys. How you apply it, I guess, changes depending on kind of the cultural tone at the time. Mm-hmm. And eventually you'll just reach a fever pitch, and then what are they going to arrest him for saying the same things that Sam Melia put up stickers about? You know, like, no, they're not going to, obviously.
But they'll still have a hit on Sam Melia, you know, still be watching, keeping an eye on him for everything.
But but it's bizarre because, like, I'm sure there might still be people who do a Facebook post that get a knock on the door by the local Bobby over in the UK over a comment that's kind of adjacent to this.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's weird. I mean, it's like even in the U.S. they're doing that now. I think it was two cases. I forget if we played the video. I think we played one of them. One was in, maybe both of them were in Florida, but regardless, it was like this anti-Semitism police were showing up on the door. Is this your post here on the, you know, this is, we're here to talk about your post about the Jewish community. It's like, so that's happening in the U.S.
I wonder, like,
too.
On this panel, did any of the guys agree with them? Or, like, the younger guy even on the far left? Or is it just the fat, ugly guys?
GB News is still cocked, right?
Yes.
Obviously, and in many regards. But at least they have a guy like this on.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Well, that's good.
All right, sticking in the UK here for a little bit. Melanie Phillips, remember this one? Great one. She was part of a compilation recently where she said if the West doesn't learn to love Jews in itself, they're going to go down or something. I forget. It was something to that effect. Serena Brown is a great account, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, came at her for, like, talking about, like, the Zionist and, you know, Jews. And she said Muslims should return to their homelands. You should return to yours, she says to Melanie Phillips here. You are not white because you see yourself as Jewish and would always put that group's interest before ours. We shouldn't have these non-white ethnic problems in our homeland, she says, right? And then she quote tweets Serena Brown. British Jews have always been utterly loyal to Britain. Jewish interest and our Britain's interest. Your views are an all too familiar poison that fuels the mass murder of Jews throughout the centuries, she says. And then, of course, Steve Laws comes in here
with a kill shot here
in terms of, like, how you deal with this issue. Here's Melanie Phillips. Let's hear it from the long-faced horse's mouth.
She doesn't come back from this.
To fight, you need to know and love your identity. Israel gets it. Now diaspora Jews need also to realize you are not just Americans with Judaism added on. In Britain, they're not just British Jews with Judaism added on. They are part of the British people, you are part of the Jewish people of the Jewish nation. That should come first. First and foremost, you are
there
Jews.
You go.
Everything else is secondary. To fight you...
I mean, again, I don't have a problem with her unwavering ethnocentrism.
But then go to Israel.
Question.
Get out of our countries.
Stop undermining ours, because that's what you constantly do, right?
Rage against the hate when we say the same thing, right?
It's amazing. I mean, no one is surprised at this point, but they're getting caught red-handed.
I love it. I'm like, you don't come back from that, Melanie.
She got community noted too, which is kind of funny. But people are paying attention. This is not, you're not going to, all of them are getting caught, like, continuously.
quickly,
over and over and over again. It's just like, I mean, this used to be like, and I don't mean this in a disparagingly, but like kind of a smaller fringe, you know, white nationalist core on like, Twitter X that were like
trolling,
going after like Barbara Spector when she was, but now it's like it's everyone and everywhere. it's
and incredible. They responded all the time. Remember too, they would get so pissed off.
Of course. Absolutely. Okay. So speaking of some other Jews here, this is kind of funny. Laura Loomer is going to India. I wonder why.
Who does she work for again?
Mossad?
Seriously. She's just going obviously everywhere, and, you know, she's engaged now. Did you hear that? He's going to have kids and with her, and they're not going to look at all like, well, they'll still be ugly and weird. How many surgeries has she had?
What's the other partner? What I don't ethnicity know. They're is it?
Keeping it quiet, but he did not look Jewish from a photo I saw. And they're like going to White House parties together and hanging out with Trump and stuff. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Well, keep that in mind regardless, because we're going to get into how kind of Orthodox Jews view, in some cases, Israeli Orthodox Jews or like rabbis, how they view American Jews, and especially like Reform Jews. But I mean, she's not that, obviously. Reform Jews are like the liberal Zionist, which is obviously an oxymoron in a way. But still, see you soon, India. Looking forward to speaking at the India Today Conclave 2026 conference this week. Now, do you think it has anything to do with the fact that like they were gloating on Israeli TV recently that they said that we're going to be selling all these advanced security and alert systems for war to like all these Gulf Coast countries and you know, the Arab countries there, and they said that we've just taken India, they said on the TV show. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because there was this great, you know, merger or kind of line up here, right? Now India's, I mean, and Modi too, they're like, they say yes, they're like a They say yes and shake your hand and smile to anyone, right? So it's the U.S. one day, and then it's Israel, and then it's Russia, and then it's China, and then they go with like they don't. I don't think they have a consistent plan. But anyway, Israel is trying. That's my point. So that's why she's, you know, going there.
Go do her work there.
And of course, Zionist. Someone links up the old comments that she used to say. And of course, I agree with her, but you know, broken clock, right? She's talking about how India doesn't have running water. It just runs out of people's asses. The invaders drink from the same water they bathe and shit in.
That's true. that is true.
Our country was built by
white Europeans,
actually.
But it's okay if they're Zionists and support Israel and Jews, okay? It doesn't matter. All of that is forgiven.
High-skilled immigrant doesn't have running water or toilet paper. How is he going to view this in the terms of Trump's kind of H-1B program and all this, you know, importing of so-called high-skilled, you know, immigrant workers from India? Is she along with the Trump agenda or no? Well, like, it's always this, they just flip-flop whatever they need to do. Now it's advantageous. Look, I'll say this, though, regarding the whole thing. It is interesting that, like, Israel is now losing so much support that they have to go to Jeetville and Jeetland get someone to like kind of, can we have someone back us up here?
And remember, America is like, oh, we did a 30-day waiver on the Russian oil. They're getting oil.
Well, we get
from,
to that. We'll
from
get, we have that okay. later. Well, yeah, exactly. But yeah, we'll get to that because that's, it's all part of that. How like, it's not geopolitics in that sense is not like it's real and it has real
it's all
effects,
motives it's all a conspiracy
but it's not like it's not based on some principles or anything like it's just
they're
self-serving.
Not being diplomatic for peace reasons no they exactly. want to get ahead and they just want to use
it. It's not a plan, it's just like what can we do now to maximize whatever we you know need to get or whatever, and then we'll just you know smile and look I guess it's politics, it's just a big clown show. Is a dishonest bunch of liars and crooks.
Is she going to get raped when she goes there, surrounded? Or are they going to just be like, ugh.
I don't even think the Jeets want that, but yeah, I don't know. Jeez. Okay, here's another funny kind of example here, right, of how how this turns out. Here's a Megyn Kelly versus Ben Shapiro, how basically you can view friendship versus, like, I guess, business associates or, like, deals or whatever. And of course, Ben represents Team Jew here, and Megyn Kelly represents Team Goy here. Okay, so let's see how different the views are. Okay,
had to go. Then I had to go, even though I've had a 15-year friendship with a guy. publicly attacked me. Same thing, not even a text in advance, even though we had had a text like literally 4 months or 4 weeks earlier saying, no matter what, who we're friends with, because he was mad I was friends with Tucker, our friendship means more to us than anything. And we won't do anything to F it up. Next thing I know, I get attacked by him on stage at Turning Point.
Megan wanted me to come and do one of her live events, which we did for free, obviously. It came down as
that's a big one for him. Because he doesn't come out for like, God, I think it's like 50 grand or something to book this rat to speak.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we did it for free, obviously. Yep.
It's a favor to Megan, because Megan and I were friendly. And of course, we'd had a long-standing business relationship in which we had really, really helped her launch her business, which she freely admits.
Business.
We were friendly.
Jews helped her. Yes. Thank you for admitting what we've been saying.
It's funny, though, isn't it? Mm. When will the Goyim ever learn? To you, it's a 15-year friendship. To the Jew, it's a series of transactions over 15 years.
We made you, Goy.
What, can I get something in return for here? You know,
that's all it's about. That's the only reason why they help you, because they want to use you at some point.
Well, yeah, it's just there is only me, or in some cases it's us, obviously, collective identity, but that's also part of, you know, their own identity, right? So that's an extension of them. How do you maximize profit and something that's advantageous to you out of this scenario? There is. What do you mean, friend? Like, you're not. First of all, I think it's a goy thing. Like, you're not,
yeah, they're
friends,
not friends
with goys,
exactly,
overall.
Exactly.
But at the same time, they also Jew each other over like this. Mm-hmm. You know, can I get some? My time is worth my. You know, I think it must be.
Yeah, I mean, there's been plenty of pyramid schemes where Jews have screwed over other Jews too. So, just,
that's what
know?
I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm
the main objective kind of goes on, and it seems like they're willing to cooperate as long as, like, there is a criminal or at least borderline kind of, well, immoral, definitely, but like borderline criminal, immoral adventure, or what do you call it? Adventure is a better word. Adventure together where they can serve, then they can help each other. But as soon as one of them caught, they're throwing each other under the bus to get, you know, to get out.
That's right.
Out. But anyway, this must be from the same show. This is kind of funny. Ben Shapiro, we don't have to play it. Let's just read the titling here.
Thank
from
you.
Chris Menahan.
Thank you for not playing some more Ben.
Ben Shapiro suggests the U.S. and Israel should arm Iran's ethnic minorities and use them as weapons to foment regime change. Remember, Iran is actually less Persian than America is white, okay? There are huge minority populations in Iran, but this is then you look into, okay, what are the minority populations? Azerbaijanis and Kurds. This would be like trying to arm the Danes and Norwegians to go kill the Swedes.
They're genetically,
of course, they're going to try. But I'm saying they're genetically basically the same, right?
Yeah.
The two other minority groups in Iran, as we said, these groups are all genetically close, sharing a significant common ancestry rooted in the Caucasus and the Iranian plateau. Azerbaijanis does speak a Turkic language, but their genetic makeup is primarily predominantly derived from indigenous Caucasian and Iranian populations rather than Central Asian Turkey. This is how the Jew views other kind of ethnic groups.
Yeah.
Like, here we can find a conflict. And if there isn't one,
exploit,
if there are genetically...
Exploit and get them to kill each other.
Well, it's like Ukraine and Russia, right, kind of thing too. Or you spend decades of just kind of programming. Now, of course, Eastern Russia is a different thing, but we talk about Western Russia, like European Russia is different than like Asian Russia, right? Because it's such a big land. But it's the same thing there. Like, let's kind of program this, very similarly genetic group that they are totally foreign and alien, and let's weaponize them against the other group, right? Kind of thing.
Yeah, they never do that, right? Jews never do.
No, they never weaponize anyone against anyone.
They never meddle and interfere and try and get countries to destroy themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
oh, I got a comment here from Rolly. Thank you very much for the birthday gift. The lesson you two should take away from your story is that mineral springs are hippie shit. Return to the sauna. Saunas heal. It's great. Saunas for the white man.
I agree.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I of course, I love the sauna, but I also love, I mean, it was all white, but there was some, and there wasn't hippies. The other nights were better.
There
was
a
better
class of
people.
Yeah.
And I even heard two older men talking about Jews, not in a nice way. And I was like, ooh, I got to get in on this conversation. And I looked over and then they stopped talking. And I was like, oh, I should have said something, but I got disrupted by my kids.
So. I agree with you. Continue.
Please, let's have this conversation. Anyway, all there right. was no naked hippies there. Thank God.
Oh, no. Oof. Yeesh. Thank you, Utterly. That's very nice. Okay, so, okay, this is kind of interesting. Did you see, I don't think you saw anything on this yet. We were, doing other things this week, but I checked this out yesterday, last night here, doing some prep for the show. Could this be one of the false flags here, right? An active shooter rammed a vehicle into the Temple Israel Synagogue in Michigan, in the U.S., to carry out an attack. The Temple Israel is the largest Reform Jewish congregation in the U.S., it says here, which is kind of, okay, that's interesting, right? Let's play this first. Let's see if there's any.
We're told it's an active shooter. We can or could see, this is earlier video of smoke coming from the synagogue. And there's a fire, appears to be a fire. Smoke coming from the synagogue. What appears to be a fire is all we can say at this point.
Yeah, there's also some video coming into Fox 2 here of Oakland County Sheriff's members with assault rifles that appear to be approaching this, the area. So this does look like it does look like an active shooter situation here.
Okay, confusing news report there. Okay. 12,000 members of the synagogue. Gunman attacks when there are only 20 people inside. No victims. Gunman is killed after being badly burned in a suicide mission. Wow, this is so convincingly real. Wow, we should bomb more Arabs and make anti-Semitism illegal now. That's
pretty much.
That's basically what it sounds like.
Pretty much.
Sounds like, right? Now we'll get to what how other Jews view the Reform group, by the way. But of course, there's the usual stuff. So here we go. Listen to this.
Is that we have just learned that the FBI Detroit held an active shooter training drill situation, I should say. Yeah, okay, a drill.
Always a drill around these things.
6 months ago at this temple.
6 months?
6 weeks ago. Okay, six weeks ago, they held an active shooter training session or drill 6 weeks ago at this temple.
Just a coincidence, as they say, right? Here's
the so often.
FBI Detroit post here. From 2 months ago, where they performed an active shooter drill at the exact same synagogue that got attacked today. What a coincidence. Here we go. Active shooter attack prevention and preparedness. And of course, because we know, like, you know, the ADL trains law enforcement, and it's like the oldest protection around the Jewish community, and there's a hyper kind of, the police and sheriff departments go to get training in Israel. Instead, like, you know that there's like tons of programming kind of behind this too for the cops. Which showed itself in the response. Let me see. Do I have it here? Look at it. This is crazy. Look at the cop cars here. Oh, sorry. It's freezing up here now. But do you see how many cop cars there are?
Oh, my gosh.
One guy, nothing happened. He killed himself in a fire afterwards.
But it's Jews, so, you know. Send every cop in the freaking state.
Well, so there was a couple of funny memes here. We have a, I don't know why it does this. Something's going on here. It's starting to freeze up. Sorry, guys. Anyway, here, I have a footage here of the police chief here in that area of Michigan once they learned that the attack actually happened. This could be interesting for you guys to see here. Let's check it out.
Benny, bring me everyone.
What do you mean everyone?
Pretty much. Oh, man. The emergency garbage truck. Whatever that is.
That was not bad. That was
it's
funny.
True, though. That's literally what that is right there. Oh, my God.
And then, of course, you have this, too, right? When it's Jews, right? Then it's like every goddamn police force you can imagine. In other cases, when it's goys, right, then it's like parents have to desperately plea with the police to actually do something, you know, kind of thing, which is quite remarkable when you think of it. of how that goes down. But you know what? Okay, that's still kind of frozen up there. Until while that loads, though, we had this was kind of a funny headline. Because I don't know what the big deal was. You saw the fire there, right?
Mm-hmm.
When that happened.
Just some smoke.
Okay, here we go. It's actually loading again. Just some smoke, right? But it turns out, I'm not sure what they're reacting to. They were just choosing a new Epstein from the synagogue. All right. Anyway, that was not bad.
Man.
Some funny memes.
That's good.
But anyway, let's go back to look at the... I mean,
oh, again, that was written by Hitler, huh? Wow, good one.
That was Hitler. Good one. I mean, look at that.
Yeah, this is insane. Oh, my. It keeps going. That was just one frame. Oh, wow.
So he didn't shoot anyone.
Wow.
And he died himself on a suicide mission. But anyway, that's what happens.
Oh, my
Jewish
God.
Lives matter more than yours, okay? That's just
that's
so you
what
know
they keep telling
what's
us.
Going on here, okay? And that's very clear. Okay, so here's... I thought this was interesting. The choice of a Reform synagogue is curious considering how other Jews view the Reform movement. Now, we played some clips with this rabbi. I forget what his name is now. Maybe someone in chat remembers, if you remember such things. Does it say... Oh, it says there, right there. That's his TikTok, I guess. He just uploads these now. Mizrahi something? Anyway. I thought that was just like Egyptian. Wasn't the Mizrahim Egyptian Jews? Anyway, listen to this.
Today they have the Reform movement. Reforming. Reform Jews. First, we should know that the majority of them are not Jewish biologically. They mix with the Goyim for 230 years. 11 generation, they marry Goyim. Therefore,
they keep
all
track
the
of this,
Reforming.
Don't they?
He's not wrong.
230 years.
Unfortunately, he's not wrong, you know?
Damn it.
Look at this thing he's sitting in there, too. It's amazing. That's the whole contraption there. But
anyone who comes to you and says, I'm a Reformed Jew, you must assume that he's a Goy. If he wants to marry your daughter, you have to convert first.
Why? No, Goys don't want him either.
My name is Steinberg.
Well, we'll get to that. Let's just hear him out.
My name is whatever. It doesn't matter what your name is. You and your father and grandfather, all the way to Moses Mendelssohn, 230 years ago, were married non-Jews in Europe, even before you came to America. Therefore, all of you becheskat goyim. They obviously don't keep one mitzvah from the Torah, the Reformim. Nothing. They marry men with men. They marry Jews with goyim. They all mechalelei Shabbat. They all eat not kosher. But there is one thing that they careful about. How to believe. In all their filthy synagogues, that it's worse than churches, worse than temples of idols, because they fight the Torah and modified every mitzvah of the Torah, they have kosher Sifrei Torah, which they pay top dollars for.
I don't even know what that is, but look there.
Dollars for.
They've got the all kinds dollars. Of weird stuff going
they
on.
They have kosher...
Okay. Fight. Yes. Let's have it. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's drive this wedge, shall
yes.
we? Of course, from our perspective, what does it matter if what they actually are or what they really are or not? The damage that's done is still the same.
Yes.
I don't have an argument over whether they observe some book or not or they didn't eat coat. Like, I don't give a shit about any of that stuff. What I care about is that Reform Judaism is much as a corrosive force, probably more in yes. some cases than actually... Oh, I mean, we have the Chabad stuff, and that's a much more...
It's all corrosive.
...hidden... it's becoming less hidden now, obviously more obvious, right? But it used to be more like kind of, well, they kind of tend to themselves. And then all the stuff with, like, them utilizing the welfare system... you know, Howard Lutnick's, mm-hmm. that crew is kind of, an interface into that world and stuff. And then you realize they have a back end with like presidents. They're like, oh, I mean, it's much more
involved
than we first thought, right? Kind of thing. We've learned more and more of that about that over the years. But I'm saying both of them are corrosive.
Yeah, it doesn't
both
matter
of them
what sect it is.
An enemy.
It's almost like it's genetic.
So what does it matter?
You know, it's just like inherent behavior. It doesn't really matter which sect of Judaism it is.
No, I mean, it's true that it's like, I still think it's biological. It's the hardware more than the software.
Yes, that's
but the software adds element on it, too. You can have, because I think it's true. You can have, maybe it's like, it doesn't matter if it's like 1% or something of your genetic makeup, but that 1% will like dominate and it will just cause a disturbance in the force field for the rest of, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that, but I'm saying you could have someone who's like, you know, 15% Jewish or 20-25,
and they
or whatever
love
the
that
next,
15%,
you know, or 12.5.
Brag about
is the
it all day long.
I'm 12.5% Jewish, or I'm like 7%, you know, whatever it is, and then but then they act like that, and they look out for that ethnic interest more than the other dominant genetic makeup of them, for the most part. I'm sure there's a handful here or there that might not, you know, but still, overall,
and I think the
that's
ones
not for
that...
me to sort out. Why should I sit here and try to weed that out and right, sort of unravel that Gordian knot? It's just like, look, on average, this is the behavior. It doesn't matter what the potential genetic admixture with other groups is. It doesn't matter what the theological differences are. It doesn't matter what sect of Judaism it belongs to. Are they liberal? Are they conservative? It's the it doesn't matter to me. Yeah. It's the same problem group, ultimately. Anyway, sorry, you're going to say?
No. Continue.
No.
Let's go.
Okay. All right. Okay. So anyway, speaking of false flags, it's kind of interesting here. Lucky Larry just he didn't actually recently purchase the U.S. Bank Tower in Los Angeles. He purchased it in 2020. However, they just did a bunch of renovations on the building. Silverstein Properties has now completed a $60 million capital improvement program to modernize the building. Again, do you know the U.S. Bank Tower downtown L.A.?
Oh, yeah.
It was like the one used in Independence Day that was like blown up by the, you know, the aliens. So they wanted to modernize the building, which means, you know, hardwire the fuses and the explosives in. The renovation breathes new life into over 35,000 SF, I'm not sure what that is, of common area spaces throughout
the
building.
Wiring their hidden cameras.
Exactly. Either that or it's like, can we see, did he take out any kind of special insurance on the building at the same time? What's happening here?
Yeah.
I don't
Six
know.
Million views, too.
6 million views. Yeah. Going to be some great visuals if they run the FF, the false flag. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at that. You never know, right? Could it blame it on Iran?
God,
they're talking about like drone.
Years. It's such a shithole.
Yeah, they're talking about like drone strikes, you know, right now. Like, you know, Iranian controlled.
I'm totally
oil
fine
tankers.
If Iran wants to just LA. Like, I am.
Well, then
have at it.
Silverstein is going to get all the insurance money, and we're going to have to pay for it. So
yeah,
just so you
there's
know.
That.
I mean,
there's
you,
that.
You've seen, we're not going to play this clip now, but we got very. He's smacking his gum when he's talking very, very, very lucky. Remember?
I don't think they drink water.
No. All right. Anyway, here's a exclusive shot here. Whoops. Fuck. Iran. Look what Iran just did, bros. Okay, we gotta put boots on the ground. Send more Marines right now. Okay, so I don't know. Someone,
something.
Random lady here warning about this. You might not want to go and work at this U.S. Bank Tower building here. Check
remember the Corcoran Group, the real estate company that's all over the Epstein files? The same company where Erica Kirk allegedly started working the month after she met Charlie? The same people that got in trouble in 2009 for deleting files and also is accusing the Epstein files of being the money launderer between all these different traffickers? Yeah, that group. Well, they're also in tight with Larry Silverstein, the man who leased out the World Trade Centers in the months leading up to 9/11. They apparently have a proud history of collaboration. Silverstein is a Jew. He also infamously took out terrorism insurance on the World Trade Centers, so he made a pretty payout and was infamously and miraculously not at the World Trade Centers as he was daily on September 11th, 2001. Larry is also very good friends with BB. And here's where it gets a little weirder. Corcoran Group was literally sold in September 2001, days before 9/11. Pam Liebman, the Jewish CEO and president of Corcoran since 2000, is the same individual who sent Jeffrey Epstein the NDA for his mansion in New York City. Well, the groups that bought the Corcoran Group from Barbara Corcoran in September 2001 were two groups, among them NRT, National Realty Trust. NRT is a joint venture between two companies, one of which, Apollo Management, is Leon Black's company. You know, Leon Black, Jeffrey Epstein's BFF, the man who sent between $158 and $170 million for his tax services, which the Senate has all but concluded were probably not legitimate services. The same man who has been accused by countless women of sexual misconduct at Epstein's properties. He's also a big Israel lover. And Leon,
he's a pedophile,
and Larry, World Trade Center guy, have also worked together quite a bit. In fact, in 2020, Apollo Management, Leon's group, gave Larry Silverstein an almost $275 million loan for the mortgage at the U.S. Bank Tower in Los Angeles. I'm not saying don't work there, but I wouldn't work there if I were you. And it is no secret that this new war with Iran is not gaining the popularity and the recruits that they want. So don't be surprised if you see other events bigger than the bar shooting in Texas, where there are mass casualties allegedly caused by Iranian nationals. Yeah, if I work at the U.S.
Yeah, so that could very well be true. Who knows, right? Speaking of Leon Black here, too, Trump's lead Epstein investigator benefits from limiting the probe. It turns out that Jay Clayton, who's the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, is accused of having a personal interest in limiting Epstein's investigation. Because why? Oh, it's just a little tie here to Apollo Global stock. Management and Leon Black again.
And he's got stock, Clayton,
which
holds
you just talked about. Yeah, but
millions
that's what I'm saying.
Worth. Yeah,
$1.5 million and $6 million worth of Apollo Global Management stock, according to public financial disclosures.
Yeah, they're always getting rich off these things.
This is why we're not getting anything of this, because they're all tied together. Mm-hmm. The very guy who's slated to investigate all of this has a financial and probably physical, like literal part of the whole thing himself. You know, who knows, right? Can you lessen can you kind of downplay the investigation
and
a little bit?
They chose him for that purpose.
That's correct.
It's their guy.
That's correct. All right, so let's fire off some of these real quick here. We got a couple. Israel's status as a superpower rising like never before. Clip from Netanyahu.
There's unprecedented coordination between Israel and the U.S. and achieved substantial achievements that are changing the reality in the West Bank, in the Middle East and beyond. These achievements are increasing the status of Israel as a superpower more than ever.
So that's what they've always been talking about, right? Becoming a superpower. And check out this clip.
Don't they love those superhero movies? It's all Jews behind those. I mean, that's how they see themselves.
Yeah, the
superpower,
comic.
Superpower, superhero,
folks.
Yes.
Yep. Showing up in, you know, underwear, spandex, and saving the city. Well, it turns out it was the opposite way. They blow up the city. All right, anyway, so from the same press conference here, but a different newscast, listen to the language here regarding... The Moshiach here. Listen to this. Interesting.
Falls, then the problem would be solved. But Iran is no longer Iran of the past. Iran is no longer that big nation, that regional strong arm.
They're trying to pretend that like Iran has fallen, by the way, which is like
not true.
Has just been strengthened, as far as I know, anyway. But anyway, let's keep going.
We are working against Iran in many ways and in ways that
we know
at a later stage. And I can say that Israel is much stronger, much greater than it has been in the past. We need to recognize this. And I believe we all recognize the fact that we will reach to the kingdom.
We will reach for the kingdom.
We will make it to the return of the Messiah, but this will not happen next Thursday. The lives of nations is always precarious and surrounded with threats.
All right. Anyway, you heard that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen next Thursday. Yeah, but maybe the Thursday after that, huh? The kingdom. We're going to secure the kingdom. We're closer than ever to the kingdom. Remember the clean break, securing the realm, greater Israel, the return of the Messiah, the third temple, the false flag on the Golden Dome. Like even the other rabbi talking about Reform Judaism is another famous clip with him going around like, if I was running Israel, I would just pretend one of these rockets went from Iran and destroyed the... They want to build a temple. That's what they want to do. And then we have all these fanatical lunatics like Pete Hegseth, who's on their side with this.
He's got the tax.
They think that like Jesus is going to return when they destroy Iran and build a third temple.
It's the Book of Revelation for them.
I mean, maybe Jewish Moshiach is now your... I mean, it is, right?
Doesn't he have Hebrew
is
tats?
Is it not, you know? Well, he has a tat of a Hebrew Yeshua tattoo. But anyway, check this. I mean, this is old school. It's not conspiracy because it's there and they literally did it. But a clean break. People said this was related to 9/11. It was all the neocon Jews, Richard Pearl, right? They were like a study group and they prepared this for Benjamin Netanyahu, right? Of like solving Israel's security problems in the Middle East, securing the realm. We're close to getting the kingdom. You know, the Moshiach is going to return. This is all religious. It's a religious war. Pentagon estimates first 6 days of Iran war cost $11.3 billion. And of course, the good old ticker here that we keep an eye on, It's getting close to $20 billion right now. We're not even nearly done.
Okay. This is far from over. It's going to go a lot longer.
And then the cost of the migration, there's something like 2.3 million Iranians currently displaced, and they're going to come flooding into Europe.
And deportations aren't happening, so there's no money there.
Right.
And then Trump posted last night on Truth Social. Was it last night? Yes. We are totally destroying the terrorist regime of Iran, militarily, economically, and otherwise. Yet if you read the failing New York Times, you would incorrectly think that we are not winning. Iran's navy is gone. Their air force is no longer. Missiles, drones, and everything else are being decimated. And their leaders have been wiped from the face of the earth. Not true. We have unparalleled firepower, unlimited ammunition, and plenty of time. Watch what happens to these deranged scumbags today. They've been killing innocent people all over the world for 47 years, and now I, as the 47th president, see the symbolism there, of the U.S., am killing them.
Yeah.
What a great honor it is to do so.
Holy shit. It's just
what a great honor it is to kill them. And it's like civilians. You're killing civilians also. Yeah. Right. And then he, in this interview with Brian Kilmeade, I don't know who this idiot is. I got to go to Boomer Book to look. But President Trump had said on there that the war will end when he feels it in my bones.
Of course. That makes sense. Yeah, that's a good war strategy, right? How long is it going to take?
I thought he was like, a week, we'll wrap this thing up, 2 weeks in and out.
To flatten the Iranians, kind of thing.
In his bones. Yeah. I think he's going to have some health challenges coming up. All right.
It's over. When are you going to know when it's over?
When I feel it.
Okay.
I feel it in my bones.
Will you ask anybody in particular? Would that be some of a joint decision?
Well, I deal with people. I have great people.
Yes,
I have great people.
It's always the greatest people. It's always the greatest people, like Howard Lutnick, Jared Kushner,
exactly,
Steve Witkoff.
Exactly.
Where do we begin?
If your intuition was on point, you would know that none of the people around you are great people. Okay, so his intuition is all off base. He's talking about intuition. I feel it in my bones, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! But what a thing to say. We're just going to kind of wing this war. You know?
Yeah. Two weeks to flatten the curve, but it might be 6 months, but who knows? But it's going to cost you a little bit, though. It's going to cost you a little bit at the pump as we send more Marines now for an expeditionary unit to Middle East as oil spikes on ground war fears. Ground war fears. We're going to put boots on the ground. Been rumored. Well, it's not off the table. We don't take anything off the table. We'll see.
They want to go steal oil. I mean, they always do, right?
It's all for Israel and it's all for Jewish interests. Unbelievable.
Yep, that's right.
But we can't blame them for it, though.
Greenblatt here is saying that it's anti-Semitic to blame Israel or Jews for this Iran war. You're just scapegoating Jews and Zionists, okay? They're actually innocent. Unreal.
We are seeing Jewish people, the Jewish state, blamed for the war in the Middle East. That is wrong. It is wrong.
Wrong.
It is wrong to hold Jewish people accountable.
For anything. It's wrong to hold Jewish people accountable.
Right there.
For anything. You cannot hold Jewish people accountable for crimes. Okay?
You can't hold them accountable. They're never accountable. Okay? Just remember that, right?
Wrong. It is wrong to scapegoat. It is wrong to hold Jewish people accountable for something you don't like on the other side of the planet. And we really need...
That we have to pay for?
Which is literally almost a neighboring country to Israel. It's just like a couple of small slivers of what, like Jordan is in between there. What else is right in between? I mean, I guess Iraq is right in between there, right? But still, it's close enough. These are neighbors, you know?
We're fucking funding it, and we're going to get the blowback from it, okay? Like, we suffer. That's why we care.
Well, you're obviously
you're
doing
meddling
it.
You're meddling is creating problems for us. You've dragged America
When your
into
prime minister comes out and says, this is the greatest opportunity ever to secure, you know, the Israeli realm, securing the kingdom for the becoming of the Moshiach. And then, like, you can't. What do you do? You can't blame Jews for this.
It's amazing.
But I thought Israel was the only one and only Jewish. It's funny. It was occurring to me. It was something. Iran said, like, okay, Israel and America is trying to disintegrate Iran, you know, kind of thing. And I was like, isn't Iran the one and only Persian state for the Persian people, yeah, right, kind of thing? You can, yeah, I mean, again, exactly. I don't, look, I'm not a huge fan of the Muslim thing or whatever, but look, if they have a problem with that, it's fucking for them to sort out. You know, like, they need to overthrow their own government, stop with this meddling shit bullshit, and we're the ones that have to pay for it with migration, exactly, and cost, and then, like, Zog Zionism, you know, overlords. No. But anyway, they're trying to act like somehow, again, that Ben Shapiro attitude of, like, other ethnic groups, they just see us as the Goy. The Goy has many nations. And it's like, the Danes only have that one nation for Danes, right? I mean, are the genetic similarities with other groups? Yeah, of course. But the point is, it's still their one nation. Theirs. That's the only one they have. But they're acting like, they're, you know, if you're opposed to Zionism, you want to destroy Israel, and that's a genocide because it's the one and only Jewish state. Meanwhile, inflicting political changes in our countries to such a degree that it's undermining and destroying and even genociding our own population.
They're not
in
minding
our
their own business. That is the crux of the matter.
All right. Anyway, I don't think we have to listen more to that.
No.
Not. Okay, this is kind of interesting here too. Pete Hegg says Defense Department blew $22 million on steak and lobster in a single month.
How is this even possible?
Now, of course,
you know, some of those steak and lobsters are probably Coke and whores too. Somehow that they get rid of.
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, look, God. You can. So the classic one is, of course, that steak and lobster is what you receive before you're sent out into the field. Yeah, to die for Israel. But again, you get to bribe the Goy with something, okay? Mm. $22 million. Meh, it's not really that much. But this is, you know, Mediaite. I don't, you know, these are. They're shit libs, and they might even attack these people for the wrong reasons, but I'll take it. They do their, you know, investigation. They look into what the motives of these people are. There's much more you can say than these things, but these are small things you can add into the pile of, like, problems here, right? So it's based off of a nonprofit watchdog called Open the Books, where they talk about this, you know, how much the Department of War, I'm not sure why they still call it the Department of Defense in this piece, but still. They spent $93.4 billion on grants and contracts in September 2025 alone, nearly 50% of which was expanded in the last five expended. Business expended. Sorry, in the last five business days. Whoa. Of the month. It was like this: fuck, we gotta touch here, anything, which is whatever, you know. It's like, okay, so we got $2 million on Alaskan king crab, $6.9 million on lobster tail, $15.1 million on ribeye steak, $1 million on salmon, dessert. Included 272 orders of donuts for $139,000,
oh,
and ice cream machines for $124,000. It's like furniture, top of the military's wish list of every end of every fiscal year. Since 2008, the DOD has spent an average of $257.6 million on furniture every September. A 564% increase above the norm. In months besides September, furniture costs for the military only $38.8 million on average.
That's why Doge is out. Doge is out now.
Well, Doge was to again be like, well, they're saving money. We're fixing this fraud and the waste and
saving
the spending.
Saving it for,
you know,
Israel, right? We all were wondering about that.
Yeah. So anyway, a small thing, but it's kind of...
Hegseth here, he's also claiming that Iran's leadership is, you know, underground. They're all hiding. They're all afraid. And apparently that's not true. There are important people that are just walking around on the street, taking selfies with the public, walking, you know, talking to people as bombs are going off in the back. We could play some of these.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Iran's leadership is in no better shape. Desperate and hiding, they've gone underground. Cowering. That's what rats do. We know the new so-called not-so-supreme...
So, one of the eternal enemies of the Jewish people you can call rats, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
The leader is wounded and likely disfigured. He put out a statement yesterday, a weak one, actually, but there was no voice and there was no video. It was a written statement. He called for unity. Apparently killing tens of thousands of protesters is his kind of unity. Iran has plenty of cameras and plenty of voice recorders. Why a written statement? I think you know why. His father, dead. He's scared. He's injured. He's on the run, and he lacks legitimacy. It's a mess for them. Who's in charge? Iran may not even know.
You don't even know. No one knows. This is a mystery. Here's a little bit more on Pete Hegseth here. The shadow behind Pentagon head Pete Hegseth. Who is he?
We're losing that war. When you think about it, the masters of the universe are Jews. You know, we've got Altman at AI, we got Zuckerberg, we got Sergey Brin. It's us. And we have to figure out a way to win the digital battle. And when we do that, the future of Israel will be stronger because a majority of all Americans will support Israel. We'll make that happen. We have to make it happen. Thank you. Baruch Hashem. Thank you.
Baruch Hachem, right? So it's all.
Oh, man. Always all, a snake tongue. Look at him. He even got his hand on him. Like, yeah. No, come here. Coming,
he's following him and trailing him and stuff. So it turns out there's this whole history here. Norm Coleman, Minnesota, right? By the way, there were some people just convicted in Minnesota, right? The Somali fraud and all that stuff, right? Which is like, okay, good, fine. That's finally coming out. I think it was, which outlet was it? This one here. G. Edward Griffin's site here, Need to Know. Somali scammers pleaded guilty to federal wire fraud for stealing $6 million. Some of these Somalis opened a small corner shop, and they're wiring millions of dollars through these.
Yeah.
This would be impossible. They would be flagged. This would tax. Someone is helping them.
Yes.
And I think I know who it is. I think I know where at least a portion of this money ends up. Did the Somalis play ball willingly and line their own pockets along the way? Sure. But they probably didn't receive the majority of the money. They're being like flown out of Minneapolis airport and all that. Anyway, it takes me back to this, right? Can Norm Coleman get Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth over the finish line? Minnesota's last Republican senator has been sheep herding Hegseth, Trump's nominee for Secretary of Defense, through Capitol Hill. There he is, literally leading him. Yep. He's the Jewish supremacist, Norm Coleman, right? And here's a clip of him, you know, gloating over Hegseth and as he's grooming him at the same time here.
Members of the committee, my former colleagues, I'm honored to introduce a son of Minnesota to you, Pete Hegseth. As a senator from Minnesota, I spent many hours with this young man as he walked the halls of Congress advocating on behalf of America's veterans. And he is young in the best sense of the word. He is strong, focused, intelligent, incisive, a great listener, and is almost supernaturally energetic, just what we need in a Secretary of Defense in times of massive change.
Yeah. What is that change? War in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
That's the boy that's in the cards all the time. It was just a big farce, a big show, a big scam. Here, white man, vote in Trump. He's going to be your guy.
And they need this goy.
The GOP is the white man's party now.
Well kind of presented, de facto. They're not, but I'm saying. It.
Yeah. Here's all the, exactly, here's this, you know, the.
Oh, the tough guy, masculine dude, right? Here you go.
Yeah, he's going to do Deus Vult is going to be, here's the Jerusalem cross on. And of course, that's what all the liberal publications focused on. While they didn't cover his Jewish Yeshua tattoo
amazing,
by the way.
Huh?
We talked
amazing.
About that.
Amazing. That's ignore Hegseth. That.
Yep. Just avoid the, nope, that's not of interest to us. That doesn't matter
so
at all.
Dishonest.
See, his Jewish, no, focus on his white, you know, Christian white nationalism or whatever the hell that's supposed to be, you know. But yeah, no, he's a third temple enthusiast. He met with Rabbi Chaim Rishman there, a U.S.-born Israeli rabbi who leads the Temple Institute, which is dedicated to destroying the Dome of the Rock, the Golden Dome behind them, and building a temple over its ruins so that the Moshiach can return. That's Hegseth for you right there. That's it. That's their guy. So anyway, they're pulling this off, right? Okay, back to some of the news flow here real quick.
God, U.S. temporarily so lift, in your face. It's amazing.
U.S. temporarily lifts sanctions on Russian oil amid Iran price spike.
We talked about this last week,
but just
right?
Like, yep. It's just, again, now it's happened.
Yep.
Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, finally actually, you know, went through on you know, inflicting this policy. They're temporarily removing sanctions on Russian oil currently stranded at sea. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent announced late Thursday the latest move by the Trump administration attempting to ease soaring energy prices amid the war with Iran. So it's this, like, again, years and years of this, like, Russia's the bad guy, they're the Nazis, we got to support Ukraine, Ukraine,
but now they're desperate, and they have a war.
And you know what? Fuck you. It doesn't, we don't care. No, boom.
Well, Russia should not sell. Like,
yeah,
no.
But they're financially, they're in,
I know, they also have their
too,
own war going
so
on.
They have their war, but, you know, check this out, it gets even worse. U.S. sends interceptor drones used in Ukraine to blunt Iran strikes. I think they said something like, this is, let me use archives, I can get the details here, but something like 100,000 Oh, good. It's archived already. I believe it was 100. Yeah. The U.S. Army has sent, oh, sorry, no, okay, 10,000 interceptor drones developed in Ukraine to the Middle East as it looks to repeal
Ukrainians
repel Iranian attacks without using up, so Ukraine, so
more slaughter,
pressure, then it's like, sorry, we're out, and then the empire spreading itself too thin, right? I mean, if China is smart, now they'll invade Taiwan. And I don't want to, but I'm saying that's what they will do right
now. America's busy,
now.
They're overextended, let's
overextended.
Go! Now's our chance.
It's, you know, it's ticking. It's ticking. The gas pump, it's incredible. What do we do? Let's just pretend the last 4 years wasn't that serious, actually. We have a good...
5 years.
Sorry, Ukraine. The actual Jews... I know Zelensky. I know you're a Jew, but Israel called, okay? Can we... you know, it's like... doesn't matter. It's fine. It's just all a big show. It's all a stupid, dumb game where millions die. And they just get wealthy and rich and get their religious goddamn psycho magic book prophecies, you know, fulfilled, essentially.
But a lot of people are hating them right now. And that hatred is only going to grow. People are watching in real time what's happening with these Zog wars, right?
Yes. Israel walks into the UN wearing yellow stars like they're Holocaust survivors.
Oh, my gosh.
They're actively portraying themselves as victims and ask for unconditional sympathy. This is so cringe. Again, 6 million. Like, I think I linked up. What was that again? It was like, let me see if I can find that real quick. I think I did a post on that because I should know the numbers.
Well, remember Iran hosts that international conference to review that, was it Global Vision of the Holocaust, right? The Holocaust denial conference that happens in Iran.
Yeah.
And I think, didn't David Duke speak at one of those?
He did.
Many years ago.
That's right. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so they know the truth. They know that the 6 million is a lie.
Yeah, there was some Eve Barlow. What was she tied to? She's some other lunatic Jewish Israeli fan. The Holocaust never ended. Jews got really good at preventing Nazis from murdering us. It's called Never Again, Bitch. It was in 1939. It's all, you know, Jewish lives or whatever. Mel here, the village crazy lady. Over 250,000 American sons died in Europe to defeat the Nazis and end the Holocaust so that 80 years later, the most narcissistic people on the planet could spit on their sacrifice and say it meant nothing. Never again for us too, bitch. And then I said, Soviet Union, 24 to 27 million deaths. Poland, roughly 6 million. Germany, between 7 and 7.5 million deaths. Yugoslavia, 1.7. France, 600,000. Greece was also
this
in the 500,000.
Doesn't even include the Bolshevik Revolution there,
well,
either.
It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't. But there was just specifically World War II, and like we got to fight the
tons.
But the point is, none of this matters to these people. They don't. It's literally just Jew,
Holocaust,
Jews, Holocaust, you know.
There can only be one Holocaust, and it's the one that allegedly happened to Jews. That's it.
All right. This is kind of funny. We have time to cover some of this. Israel here wheels out a homo rapist on Jew TV here after the case was finally dropped. Remember, there was this whole protest and argument over it should be legal for Israeli soldiers, IDF soldiers, to rape Arab Palestinian prisoners. And there was this whole thing.
The fact that they even discussed that or would want to do that is just deranged.
And appropriately named here, Meir Shitrit, who raped a Palestinian detainee on camera, is being trotted
literally
out as a
name.
Hero on Israeli national TV. Israeli reservists stage a riot in his defense, and the lawyer who tried to prosecute him is now under house arrest. The sickest society. Humor show here. Alright, anyway, that's Israeli TV for you right there. And of course, it was a man, so he's a fag, rape, like they're raping male Palestinians.
That's gay, yes. Very gay.
وفي هو في إشي ينتسى ما ممكن تنسى أنا تم اغتصابي بطريقة وحشية داخل سجون الاحتلال الإسرائيلي.
I was brutally raped in Israeli prison.
لما كان أنا ما كنت بعرف شو هو جردوني من ملابسي
وبدأوا Yeah, he had to have surgery on his rectum, by the way, because he was, like, punctured in his intestines. All right. Anyway, yeah, I'm ashamed of speaking about it. You know, these are the types of freaks here. Insane framing. He was anally gang raped. He was severely beaten and then anally gang raped on camera. Both a knife and a taser were reportedly used. There was a hole in his rectal wall. He got surgery for it. Because he was anally gang raped by the IDF on camera. But he also had seven broken ribs and other injuries as well. After it happened, Israelis staged multiple large protests in the street, not only because they believed these soldiers didn't do anything wrong, but because they were infuriated that the soldiers were arrested for anally gang raping a Palestinian on camera. These protests weren't just random people. They included multiple high-ranking Knesset members, their Congress, who defended this rape. They didn't stop there. They wanted the lawyers who leaked the video that went after the lawyer. She was publicly smeared and was forced to resign and was later arrested.
Oh, my
God. She's on house arrest now, I think, or something like that. Anyway, so this is the Israeli military says it's dropping cases against five soldiers who were accused of sexually abusing a Palestinian detainee. And here is the Ben Shitritir gloating about it, basically. I mean, we don't have to watch all this. It's just it's the most deprived
this is who they are.
People possible,
this is
right?
What they do.
They're laughing about it here. Look at this. It's amazing that they're a terrorist have the right to complain? They say here, laughing at it.
Killed him through gang raping. I mean, it's just the sick, monstrous mentality of these Jews. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, we can't. They're not us.
No.
They'll never be the same.
Definitely not. They're gloating about it. What else was it here? Oh, this is retweeting this gem in light of the case being dropped. Here they're arguing if it's legitimate to insert a stick in a person's rectum. This is the Israeli courtroom.
This is Jewish law for you.
אני קם ואני יוצא מפה ואני לא הולך להצביע יותר על שום דבר עד שהסיפור הזה והטרלול הזה שיש מי שבפרקליטות חושב שאפשר לבוא ולעצור חיילים על דברים שעושים למחבלי נוח'בה, לא נגמר.
He's outraged that they dare to arrest these soldiers. This is an outrage.
ואני מאוד מבקש, ואני חושב שחברה בקואליציה טוב יעשו אם יעשו כמוני. אנחנו לא יכולים להמשיך כרגיל.
להכניס מקל לרקטום של בן אדם, זה לגיטימי.
To insert a stick in a person's rectum, is that legitimate?
כן, אם הוא נוח'בה,
shut up, yes, if he's a נוח'בה. Everything is legitimate to do.
Yes, yes. Okay. This is how they view it. This is how they view it for all the goyim, right? Anything goes. Anything goes, and they are never accountable, right? Because their fairy tale book says it.
My gosh.
Menu tov.
Yesh dvarim shelo osim.
Ve'ani choshev shetzach po latet dugma.
Yeah.
Let's give a personal example.
We can do everything to it. Yeah, it was another video of him, Ben Shitrit here.
Is there also, smut peddlers, right?
Yep, gloating at taking food deliveries that are meant for Gaza and taking out, dates and like, we're going to take all this food and we're going to starve them and blah, blah, blah kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
No, these are the heroic, heroic, medal-deserving, brave soldiers of the IDF. And I think it's especially like people like Lindsey Graham that just keeps fawning over these people.
Well, he likes anal rapage.
We've archived over 60 videos related to the Israeli right to rape protest. I'm not going to click in there, but there you go. Genocide.live. There you go. Here's Lindsey Graham while we're on the ladybugs here.
Homosexuals.
During World War II. Did we think 1 minute about starving the Germans? Did we bomb every city into to smithereens? So... This
you
is a war.
No, October 7th to World War II.
Yes, about Dresden.
This is an absolute existential threat to the Jewish people. Mm. What happened on October the 7th was 1,200 people were slaughtered, raped, and murdered and filmed by radical Islamists who would kill every Jew if they could to the world. If you don't understand this is a threat to Israel's survival.
And then they flattened Gaza.
Just flatten it. We flattened Berlin. We flattened Tokyo.
Psycho, man.
Were we wrong to drop an atomic bomb to end the Japanese reign of terror? Were we? So my view, if I were Israel, I would have probably done it the same way. Without military victory, there is no hope of breaking radicalism. We flattened Germany. We flattened Japan.
How many Americans how many Americans think the way that you do?
I think most Republicans think the way I do.
Even young ones.
Yeah, you're just out of touch if you don't understand Republicans when it comes to...
But he did say, was America First is to kill people. Remember, we play the clip, right? I got to play it again. But yeah, that's what he's into.
This guy's insane. And he just keeps getting in,
I don't think it's ever been more clear of, I mean, in a way, and it's not, of course, right today, obviously, to the current generations in countries like America or other Western white European nations. But with people like this, with pigs like this in charge, who think and talks like this, we collectively has never been more deserving of people like that, considering that we joined against Germany and destroyed Germany and Japan.
We're living in siding
with those people, right? Yeah. This is what happens when you side with these Jews. Yeah. With Jews, you lose. And they'll claim over and over again, no, it's because, you know, society is declining now because America is becoming more anti-Semitic, right? But we know the precursor for there is robbing it blind, driving foreign policy wars, driving all these issues that's caused the massive decline. You could do a whole segment and go back to literally like the 1700s and talk about why there were synagogues in Charleston, South Carolina, next to the Scottish Rite Hall, you know, on Broad Street. Like, you can begin there. You can talk about all these things, the slave trade. It was already done. The proximity to the French Revolution is bad enough in Freemasonic terms, which basically means Judaism for the Goy, right? That's what mm-hmm. Freemasonry is. Napoleon tried to create a new Sanhedrin, for example, right? It was already a done deal. It was a liberal nation back then. It was what they were fighting for. These are revolutions against, you know, at that time, conservative forces, right? Of course, the framing was a little bit different then than what they wanted as liberty or freedom. But at the same time, it was a French Revolution type of mindset. Like Nine Sisters Lodge over in Paris, where like Benjamin Franklin and all these founding fathers go over there, right? Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is it's like cursed from the beginning. It didn't have to be like that, but it was like cursed from the beginning. And then like already in the 1800s or something, right? You get, you know what? Heck, let's end on that clip instead. We don't have to talk about the school. The U.S. bombed. They bombed the school in Iran. Yeah. It's coming out now. There was a Tomahawk missile. All that's coming out, right? They're buying up American politicians. But let's end on this clip because it kind of shows you actually how far back this goes. And this is, you know, it's funny because this is like old school.
That's what I was thinking. Illuminati, you know.
Not really Illuminati, but like just, you know, Jekyll Island, the Federal Reserve, like shit that, you know, again, G. Edward Griffin that brought up here a little while ago. Talked about 20 years, 30 years ago in some cases, right? It's like, but this is being popularized, rebranded kind of thing, which is good. But here's a clip. And of course they talk maybe he talks in euphemisms. It's more Rothschilds. So I forget if he does drop like they're Jews at some point, but that's what this is, that there's no other issue here. Listen to this. This is an interesting clip we can end with here, the show.
Hey, when did the Rothschilds come to America? Officially, they really started making noise about 1837. That was our first big crash. And what about after that? When they got here, what did they start doing? Businesses, infrastructure, railroads were big for them. And they would eventually start doing business with the mortgage, J.P. Morgan. Okay, so like, at what point did they like grab our country by the balls? Well, that would be about 1895, 1896-ish. That's when J.P. Morgan and the Rothschilds bailed out the entire country of America because we're running out of gold. And so they said, hey, we have $45 million worth of gold. Want it? I imagine there was a little bit of, you know, quid pro quo there. Daggone. And then there's 1910, the Jekyll Island meeting after the 1907 bank panic that led to the 1913 formation of the Federal Reserve. And that was all because of an island that they met at that was owned by J.P. Morgan. And the boat that sank that was owned by J.P. Morgan that kept the Federal Reserve's naysayers from getting the meetings. And now we have a central bank that's controlled by Rothschild Rockefeller money. Jeez. And then when you... That's not to mention the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812. They pressured America heavy to finance it. Even the Civil War, they were on both sides in the Napoleonic War. And guess what? The first thing our central bank funded after it was founded in 1913. Did they fund... Oh, God. 6 months later, World War One. Well, that's all bad, but at least it stopped. Shortly after that, Britain would write them a letter saying, hey, that land in the Middle East that you want, we're going to give it to you, Mr. Rothschild. Israel, it's all yours.
Oh.
The reason you can't afford an engagement ring or a wedding band, it's because of the Rothschilds and the De Beers Diamond Company. In the mid-80s, they created an M&A company. An M&A company is a merger and acquisition company. Think private equity, but before private equity. And guess what they did with...
We might need to slow down, but what did they do?
We're using it to get involved in Wall Street. They wanted to infiltrate the New York Wall Street monster that had been forming in America. You want to know what they did to do that?
What did they do?
They did it by sending somebody to New York City to oversee the purchase of McMillan Inc. McMillan Inc. was a media company that would be McGraw-Hill, which is responsible for a lot of the elementary school books that you and I were raised on. Do you want to know who they sent to New York City in 1988 to do this? Robert Maxwell. He was in partnership with Robert Maxwell. And when Robert Maxwell would go on to die on his yacht because he owed the Mossad money, guess who he also owed about 50 million pounds to? The Rothschild family through the Bank of England.
Wait, Robert Maxwell's, that's Ghislaine Maxwell's father? Is connected to the Rothschild?
That's right. Robert Maxwell, along with Roy Cohn, had been running a corporate blackmail ring throughout the entire world run by the Mossad. And when he died, Ghislaine and Jeffrey...
And of course, Roy Cohn was Trump's mentor, by the way.
Jeffrey Epstein took on the reins. That's why they had been introduced only 6 months prior to his death. After that, they would go on to infiltrate people like the princes, the politicians, and the media moguls that we know today. And we know through Alan Dershowitz, Epstein's lawyer through 2008 and 2009, admitted that he was introduced to Jeffrey Epstein in the early 90s by a Rothschild.
But, okay, well, we don't have proof that Epstein worked for a Rothschild.
Here's an email from Epstein over to Peter Thiel, says, as you know, I represent the Rothschild family.
But maybe only represented a few of them. Maybe he didn't represent the whole family.
Here's this wrinkly old pervert, Les Wexner, saying he represented the whole family.
I guess he didn't know that.
Okay, what am I supposed to do with this?
Tag Howard Lutnick. I think that's what we could do, because I believe he's a Mossad plant.
It's a lot, and there's even more.
Seated by the Rothschild family in a place precariously right next to Jeffrey Epstein.
Didn't even get into the whole health system and the whole medical system as well.
Everything.
It's just amazing, the drive of these people.
The banks. And
the psychotic drive to control and destroy, mm-hmm. and they're just obsessed, mm-hmm. like this insatiable monster. Never anyway, be full.
So it's those, that's Jews. It's like, okay, look, J.P. Morgan himself was apparently Episcopalian or something like that, but he's basically like
their bitch boy.
He's in with them essentially. Was it J.P. Morgan? Historians and contemporaries refer to Jacob Schiff, a prominent German Jewish banker who ran Kuhn, Loeb & Company. Yeah, Schiff is a prominent banking family, right? They were already here. You remember when they started lobbying for, like, mm-hmm. opening the borders to Jews from Eastern Europe? But
That's
there
right.
was already Jews here, dude, like industrialists, all that stuff, right?
They come after everything's already built.
J.P.
Of
Morgan,
they don't
was
actually
like
build anything.
One of the few that were not in this thing, but regardless, he was a bitch boy, you know, for, mm-hmm. for them, and all the other people he brings up are Jews, right? Mm-hmm. So there you go. There's that. All right.
Archie says, I noticed Ice Age Farmer is very active since Iran is under attack. He was dormant for what seemed to be years, a couple of years maybe, but I only follow him on BitChute. Red Ice introduced me to him. Have you kept in touch with him? Does enough UV enter greenhouses? I have not been following him. Mm-hmm. Have you?
No,
have you
seen that I haven't he's back kept on? Up with him either that much. In touch with him? No, I had him on the show that one time. But yeah, he's been an odd on and off kind of guy.
I know he lost his wife too, so that's probably why, right? His wife died?
No, you're thinking
Wasn't
of Curtis Stone.
Oh, that's the other one. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yep. Different guy.
Isaac Farmer's
yeah, that's right. I remember.
Christian?
I remember that one.
Christian something. Mm-hmm. I forget what his last name was now. But anyway, No, I've not. But who knows? Check in. All right. You got one more there, Lana. Actually, two more, and then we can.
You want to take that? Because I have to refresh.
You got it, Black Phillip. Good to see you. Hail, Henrik and Lana. I just wanted to leave you a tiny white pill. I've been volunteering for Animal Rescue, and they deal with mostly cats. It's all white women, and I have two dates lined up already. Well, that's nice.
Okay, that's good. As long as they like cats until they have kids, right? Because I liked cats until they had kids. Replace. And now I'm just kind of like, all right, I'm done with these cats. Yep. You know, get out of my face. What do you want?
We still like her.
That's good, though.
We still like her cats.
Well, of course. I appreciate felines, you know. Yeah, see? You know how to go out and get it. That's mm-hmm. good. Der Trusker says, they know we are noticing, but the seeds have been sown. Say no to Zog.
Jog. That's right. Yeah. Jewish occupied government. Yeah, just call it what it is. Exactly. All right. Thank you, guys. Okay, so yeah, we'll wrap up right there. That's our Friday show, a little bit earlier than usual. But yeah, we do have got to take the boys to a hockey tournament. This is the last one of the season now. So, you know, I got to do that, right? But anyway, we'll be back here. What was the schedule like? Was there any schedule changes? It's been so weird and erratic. But
yes.
I think we're planning on doing a Western Warrior, I think, Monday. Mm-hmm. That's the plan anyway. So if you guys want to join us over that, for that, you can do that with a membership, obviously. $10 a month helps us tremendously. We appreciate all our members. Thank you to everyone who's over there at redhousemembers.com or locals or Subscribestar. We appreciate you guys so much. It helps tremendously. Thank you for supporting what we do. We love you guys. We can't do this without you. So thank you for being there for us so we can be there for you guys. RedIceMembers.com, RedIceTV.locals.com. You can sign up on Subscribestar.com/RedIce as well. It's only $10 a month. But if you get a longer one over on RedIceMembers.com, you can get that down significantly. So if you get like a year or 2 year even, the 2 year is like 35 to 40% off. So if you want to spend a little bit less, but one sum larger up front, you can get one of those if you prefer. And we'll get your account activated over there as soon as possible. So yeah, no After Flash today. We're planning on doing that next week instead for Flashback Friday. But the plan is to do a Western Warrior. So check out all the good stuff we have on the members' website. Western Warrior, we got After Flash, the second hour of many of the interviews that we've done. We got other exclusive videos there just for members. So a great way to support us. Also, thank you to our executive producers, Albert Arctic Wolf, incredible Albert.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. We got William Fox, America First Books. We also have Angry White Soccer Mom. Thank you. Appreciate your support. Also among our executive producers, Purple Haze. Thank you, Purple Haze. Appreciate it. We got Glenn as well. Thank you, Glenn, for being an executive producer together with President Obunga. Appreciate you. Thank you. We got Good Luck Lap as well. Thank you to you. We have number one Jeebs. We appreciate your support as well. Thank you for being an executive producer together with Hungarian Mom. Thank you so much. We also have Sun Destroyer 520. We appreciate you as well. And thank you to the Deplorable Extraordinaire for your support. We also have Santoso. We appreciate you, Santoso. Thank you. And then we got the Boo Man. Thank you, Boo Man. Appreciate you as well. And we have Charles Turner Jr., last but not least, out for executive producers. Thank you. Appreciate you. We got Red Pill Rundown, Johansson, Leroy Demand, Iced Open. We have Single Action Army, Lord H.P. Lovecraft, Trevor, Der Schwabe, Alcyon, Aurelian, Perfect Brute, Greg M., J. Barr, Chris W., Skarzinski, Muskrat, Centurion, Scott James Henderson, Deer in the Headlights, Joseph W., Citizen Intel, and Ernst Jaeger. That's our producers. Thank you, guys. You're like five subs over on RedIceMembers.com. We appreciate you guys. Helps tremendously. So if you want your name in the credits, a special shout-out from us here at Red Ice, a special thanks, you can help us grow and expand by getting a producer or executive producer tier over at RedIceMembers.com or Subscribestar.com/RedIce. So do consider that. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And, of course, you can always pick up a T-shirt over at LanasLama.com if you want something, you know, physical to hold that has Red Ice on it or adjacent, you know, Red Ice mottos or slogans or logos, whatever you want to call it. Flashback Friday shirt, Folk First shirt.
Mugs and keychains.
We got the hoodie there with the Red Ice seal hoodie. Great quality. Awesome stuff. And, again, use the Flashback Friday 50 coupon code to get 50% off on the last year's inventory when it comes to T-shirts. Right.
Correct.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Thank you, guys. So happy weekend. Hope you'll have a great weekend. So we'll be back here Monday, Tuesday, something like that, with more. We're planning on doing a Western Warrior, but we'll keep you guys updated. Stay tuned to Red Ice twitter.com/RedSMembers.com. or RedSMembers.com. You can follow our Telegram, our X, or our Gab. We always put stuff on there, notifications when we're doing live and the schedule and stuff like that too. All right, guys, we'll see you soon.
See you. Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye. Bye. Vote first. Now, do make sure that you follow us on our Rumble channel for more Red Ice TV on Rumble.com or on X at Red Ice TV. You can, of course, go to redice.tv as well. Tune in to our live streams and shows. Flashback Friday live on Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. No-Go Zone Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. We also do interviews, videos, clips, and Western Warrior is available Tuesdays, exclusive for our supporters and subscribers at redicemembers.com or on our locals, redicetv.locals.com or subscribestar.com/redice. Get a membership, check out everything that we do, and support the show.